Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friends, Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. You can call them anytime at 702-820-1234 because you deserve what's right. It is Thursday. Yes, one day closer to game day. And that means the Raiders can get that filth off them from last Sunday with the Atlanta Falcons. But today's show, jam-packed with guests again. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, we have three guests each show. Just full, lots of stuff coming up, including, as we do every Thursday, we visit with our friend Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby. He'll be with us. We'll ask him about his concern with this team, where they're at, how they get out of this bugaboo and get into New York and get that win, no matter what it's like. Then at 2:45, Levi Edwards from Raiders.com will be with us. He's going to give us some keys to the game from his perspective and how the Raiders need to not beat themselves. Top of the second hour, 3 p.m., our good friend Dan Leberfeld, Jets Confidential. He'll be with us. We'll do a little bit about the game. Also, Adam Gase today in an AP spot admits that he's done a bad job of trying to develop quarterback Sam Darnold. I mean, I guess when you're a dead man walking, Q, I'm bringing my co-host Q Myers. How you doing, Q?
I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling. I'm glad to be here. Let me tell you that.
Uh-oh. Oh, did you have some trouble driving back from the studio, or what happened?
No, I just had some troubles signing on and getting on with this computer. But, you know, that's all. It's all good. Sometimes it happens.
Yes. We've had all kinds of issues this week. And it just happens that way sometimes. You know, technology, it is what it is sometimes. So Adam Gase, we'll ask Dan Leberfeld about that because Adam Gase, you know, you got to just be going through the motions at this point, right? So we'll talk to him about that and find out where the Jets are. Do the Raiders have to worry much about the Jets, or is this going to be a case of you can't beat yourself, Q? And I know you did your podcast this morning, your crossover with the Jets guy. How'd that go?
I mean, it went pretty good. He didn't have a whole lot of faith in the Jets. Now, he did say the defense has moments where it's pretty good, you know, and they can play pretty well. But for the most part, he didn't have very much faith that the Jets were going to win this game. But with that being said, I think it comes down to what we said a couple weeks ago, is it's all about the Raiders. And as long as they don't beat themselves, they should win this game.
Yes. And so we'll have that as well as the Q-tip. We'll finish the show with Vinny, find out the list of injured Raiders is still long. Although we had some guys return to practice, just came in a minute ago. Jonathan Abram, Nelson Aguilar still out. Damon Arnett was back in limited fashion. Devontae Booker was back. Malik Collins, as you know, is on IR now. IR. And Denzel Good was limited back. Eric Harris, Rodney Hudson, who's listed with a knee. And Maurice Hurst was back, limited, as well as Alec Ingold and Gabe Jackson back full as well. Josh Jacobs did not participate again. I'm not worried about that. I think he'll play. Nick Kwiatkowski was limited after not playing in practice yesterday. Colton Miller, Nassib, Jalen Richard, Sam Young, Richard, Nassib, Miller back full, and Sam Young and Isaiah Johnson were limited. The Isaiah Johnson is a new one, and it's listed as a groin injury, Q. So it's not getting shorter. The list has gotten longer.
Yeah, exactly. And Isaiah Johnson is a key backup, especially, you know, you pay attention to Damon Arnett, who's dealing with a concussion and neck, and there's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter if you feel good. You can't force that back. So if he doesn't pass the concussion protocol, you would think Isaiah Johnson is defensive back number one to fill in for him. But if he is out, then all of a sudden you're looking at Nevin Lawson. You're looking at Keyshawn Nixon. You're looking a little bit further down your depth chart. And so that could be a problem. I think Isaiah Johnson's played pretty well when he's had his opportunities to get out there.
Absolutely. And when we will try to get some sound, Corey Littleton was back talking to the media for the first time in a long time today, and he actually shared about his COVID situation. He had mild symptoms, and he still says he can't smell anything. So Corey Littleton will be back, and that's good because he'll be in New Jersey. He doesn't have to smell anything.
Right. He don't have to smell anything. All he's got to do is be able to get out there and tackle.
Yes, tackle and cover some tight ends over the middle and do his job. But it was good to see him back at practice, obviously, this week and talking to the media. What do you guys think? I mean, this Jets game, I don't predict blowouts. I kind of did last week, and it got me in trouble, clearly. Because
it was a blowout last week.
It was just the wrong way. But I'll tell you, I think the Raiders are going to go in there and win. I don't think it's going to be like a gangster Raider special of like 42-10 or anything like that. I actually think the Raiders won't score as many points as that. The weather might be ugly a little bit there, so they might have to run the ball more significantly than they would. But I think if the weather holds up at all, Q, I really believe you got to start unleashing this offense a little bit. You got to start getting Darren Waller more than four targets. You got to get Henry Ruggs involved again. They started to do that last week before the wheels fell off. And so I want to see Derek Carr start to fling it a little more, because as you get into this late part of the season, if you're in bad weather, yes, you're going to have to run the ball. It's going to be a lower scoring affair if you're in Denver and it's snowing. But I will tell you, with those games, three of those games here in Las Vegas in the Dome, you're going to be able to throw the ball, and I want to see them do that.
Yeah, I do too. You know, and I think that this game coming up against the Jets is one of those that Henry Ruggs can get more opportunities, especially in like the slant and, crossing route game. I think that he can just get his hands on the ball early and then be able to make something happen afterwards as far as yards after the catch. I think this game would be a prime game for the Raiders to kind of unleash Henry Ruggs.
It would be. Also, you look at the Raiders and what happened last week. We asked our Sided Raider Nation debate of the day, and we just retweeted that out from our friends at Sided. If you look at that one, you know, how concerned are you going into this Jets game? I've heard some callers on the other shows here on Raider Nation Radio, and I would say that the response has been very, very measured. It's like, look, I think it was just a blip on the radar. I think they're going to go back. They're going to get things done. They're going to do what they need to do, and they're going to win four out of the next five, and they're going to make the playoffs. So it's just good. The mood of Raider Nation's okay. We asked the question earlier in the week, how concerned are you after the loss? And we're going to go over that tomorrow and read some of the best replies on the air. We started using Sided when we went on the air in August, and we're continuing to do that here as well. This one has been particularly interesting, as Raider Nation overall has been very, very positive. So that's a good thing, and we'll review that. Right now, the somewhat they need to right the ship and fast is leading the way with almost half of the votes, 45% to be exact. So we'll review that. Go do it, sided.co, or you can download the app on your phone and participate there. And then, again, we'll read some of the best responses on the air tomorrow. But you can call in and tell us, too. 702-365-9200 is the number. Where's Raider Nation? Where's the excitement? What are they going to do? Give me your game prediction with the Jets and the Raiders on Sunday in New Jersey at MetLife Stadium. What are they going to do with gangrene? How are they going to come out? Who do you expect to be the hot player of the game? I think Josh Jacobs is going to man up and be a gamer like we know he is. I think he's going to have a pretty good day, Q, before they maybe sit him down a little bit if they can build a lead in the second half. I expect this game to be closer at halftime, though. I think I've heard some people, Q, say, oh, it should be a blow up by halftime. I think it'll be closer by halftime, and then I think the Raiders get the ball in the second half and they build that lead out a little more.
I agree. I haven't seen anything this year that would tell me, oh, it's going to be a blowout by halftime.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I've seen the Raiders put it on teams in the third quarter and really dominate that third quarter. They've done a good job with that this year. Not the last two games, but, I mean, they've done a good job with that all in all. So, yeah, I don't see anything that tells me, hey, by the way, they're going to be blowing out the Jets by halftime. I don't see it.
No, especially when you didn't score a touchdown last week.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You got to do it. But I did a little spot on Sirius XM Fantasy Radio today, and the guys were asking me about Darren Waller. And you look at Darren Waller, he's second behind Travis Kelce with yards and receptions. But it's sort of strange because I don't know, the last few games, I haven't seen Darren Waller overly matched, meaning he was not doubled all the time. There was no special attention. He gets attention now and then, but at the same time, he's been open plenty. I don't know what's going on there. What's your sense for that, Q, for why Darren Waller hasn't been as involved as we would think he would be?
You know, I don't know. I've been paying attention to Darren Waller the last, like, month, really, and just kind of seeing how he goes, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever you want to call it. And, I mean, he for a few weeks, he really didn't kind of seem like himself. He kind of broke out in the Kansas City game, and it looked like he was himself again. So I'm not too sure. You know, I really don't know what that's all about. Maybe Derek Carr is just trying to get other guys involved as well and not be so locked in on one dude. And that happens. When you have more weapons and you're trying to get them involved, you realize that you're going to take from something else. And so Darren Waller just hasn't been the guy, the target that we all have expected him to be over the past few weeks. So it's just something to continue to watch and monitor. You know what kind of player he is. You know who he is when the ball's headed his way and he's, you know, catching it. He's on the same page with Derek Carr. They can make some really good things happen. But, you know, the other thing about that is when Darren Waller catches a bunch of passes, there's usually the Raiders are having long, sustained drives. Yes. They haven't really had that the last few weeks.
Yes, that's a great point. And to me, that's it. You know, we talk about Josh Jacobs being the engine that kind of makes that Raiders offense run because you establish – or excuse me, offense go. You establish the run, you start moving, then you get the play action pass, which – said Waller is involved in a lot of the times. And we just haven't seen that either. We haven't seen Darren Waller get involved. And so you're seeing other players there. And, yeah, he's got to spread the ball around Q. But at the same time, you know, I don't care if it's football, and I know it's a very different game than basketball, but if you got a hot hand, if you got a guy who's a gamer, you know, you got to show, because Darren Waller is always talked about as being the number two behind Kelsey. We just need to see him more involved. I don't know if it's the player, if it's the scheme, if it's the opportunity, what it is, but he is such a game changer that you got to get it to him. And I know we say the same thing about Henry Ruggs as a young rookie, but really Darren Waller is the guy that has to get active in that passing game, because when he is, and then they have to double them, guess who's open?
Right, exactly. And look, Darren Waller's proven already. You know what I mean? Henry Ruggs, we're still waiting to see him get involved and be the guy. But we know that Darren Waller can be the guy. He's just got to get he's got to get involved more.
Yeah, and I want to hear Raider Nation. I want to hear what their passion is around this issue. Is Darren Waller involved enough? What do you guys think? What does this offense need to do in New York? What do you want to see when you get done watching the Raiders win? Yes, I said they're going to win. When the Raiders win on Sunday, when the game is over, who's going to step up? What are you going to see? How are you going to see that offense move this ball? And who's going to shine and make this go the way the Raiders need it to? Give us a call. 702-365-9200 is the number. And also, Q, I got to tell you this. So I got some heat back a few weeks ago. Remember when we were really going through the whole COVID thing with the Raiders and the loss of the draft pick and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Well, I said the Raiders got what they deserved at that moment, right? Because of the multiple things. We said it multiple times on here. And I still think that's true, but I will tell you that I do believe that the Raiders now, when you look at what's happening, the situation with the Ravens, what you saw happen with the Broncos, the hypocrisy and the inconsistency of the NFL is continuing to kind of, in my view, spiral a little out of control. Because there's reasoning around what they're doing. You have a clear-cut case of the Baltimore Ravens, who, because a trainer and some players were extremely careless, has now resulted as they've had their game moved three times. Meanwhile, Denver had to roll out a wide receiver at quarterback because all their quarterbacks were on the COVID list. The Raiders had their game moved up. And so, you know me, I'm not into the conspiracy theory of everybody's against the Raiders all the time. I have done multiple shows on the fact that officiating is biased against the Raiders. But in this case, I've kind of come full circle on it. So tomorrow, there's a great piece on Bleacher Report from Kaylin Kaler. She's an NFL writer. Go read it because we're going to talk to her tomorrow. But I have to admit, I was wrong on that. The NFL has, in my view now, really, and we'll see what happens, but by my estimation, the Raiders got a really heavy dose of penalty and an example made out of them, as did the Broncos, while meanwhile, it seems like the Ravens are skating.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's funny because I kind of subscribe to the same thing. I don't ever try to lean too hard and too heavy one way. I don't always sign up for the, oh, my God, the world hates the Raiders and everything. And I get it. That's how it was back in the day. I don't think it's quite that. I think Mark Davis has done a good job, you know, kind of mending those, you know, those broken ties with the NFL. And I think everything's kind of good now. But I was on with Steve Cofield the other day from our sister station, ESPN Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And he was asking me my thoughts on, you know, how the NFL's been operating as far as COVID-19 goes. And I said, look, I think they're doing this on the fly. And I do believe this. I believe that they're doing everything on the fly. And as the season has been progressing, they're kind of changing the rules as they go, which is never a good idea. But that's what they've been doing because, look, we've never been there, done that. We've never done a pandemic. I mean, this is brand new. This is something that no one's ever dealt with. So I kind of feel like this is what they're doing. But he brought up the good point of, yeah, that's true, but at the same time, you know, Denver, they're not a playoff team. The Raiders, they're on the you know, on the kind of on the fence of being a playoff team. Mm-hmm. The 49ers, they were on the fence of being a playoff team. The teams that are supposed to be really good, like the Ravens, the Patriots, you know, other teams that are expected to be in the playoffs, the NFL has shown that they will be a little bit flexible, a little bit more understanding to those teams, and they didn't for the Raiders. And honestly, and Cofield pointed out, he was like, Q, I'll tell you, as a Las Vegan, it makes me mad because, you know, we help fund the stadium. We help get the Raiders here. And now all of a sudden you're taking away an opportunity for the team to be playing on an even playing field where this team could be a playoff team. This team could make a deep run if they had all their players. And the way he worded it, it just kind of opened my eyes to the point where I'm like, I'm on the same page as you. I just needed to hear it from a different angle. And I think that he did a really good job of pointing that out.
Yeah, and I say I was wrong because I waited for more evidence, right? I'm not going to be one of these people on a podcast or a video that's going to just come out and say, oh, they hate us, you know, constantly.
Yeah,
if there's evidence, and now we have more because we've had more situations occur, then I'll go back and change it. I don't mind admitting that I was wrong at the time, but at the time, agreed, it appeared to be the right punishment based on what was happening. But now, I mean, Greg Rosenthal brought up the good point because I started the show yesterday telling you, man, you look at these numbers, the COVID numbers, they're actually pretty low for the league. But then Greg said, you know, you've had, what, 70% of the player cases in this entire season in the last 2 weeks, which indicates that there's a tick up. Which then surprised me, Q, when I see Roger Goodell asked about a bubble. We've been asking all the national NFL writers that we've had on the show this week the same question about, what do you think? Do you think we're going to get to a week 18? And do you think, what do you think about the bubble? And everybody agrees, hey, you know, the bubble's probably a good idea when you get to the playoffs. Roger Goodell, the program's working. We don't need a bubble.
Not so much.
No. And so it's like, look, and I'm not one of these people who want to lock – I'm not the mayor of L.A. who wants to lock everybody in their house. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But
right,
what I am saying is that why would you rule out anything NFL when you clearly, as good of a job as the teams, I think, running them overall have done with some of the programs, what are you doing to actually plan ahead of time? How about planning a little bit ahead of time? How about saying, you know what, we want to reserve the integrity of the playoffs and make sure the playoffs happen and we have a Super Bowl champion. So to do that, we're going to do a program. We're going to have them locked up here and we're going to do a bubble just like the NBA. I mean, the NBA did it perfectly. So what's the problem?
Right.
Yeah,
I don't know. And you know, it's funny. As long as the playoffs, I think it should be a bubble for the playoffs.
Yes.
And on top of that, you mentioned week 18. I don't know why the NFL is so hesitant to use that week 18. They have it. They have it at their disposal. And that game that was played yesterday afternoon between Baltimore and Pittsburgh had no business being played yesterday. I mean, that quality of that game, the players that were out there, that should have been a game, prime example, that should have been pushed to week 18. And there's other games out there as well. The Denver Broncos shouldn't have had to go out there with no quarterback. I mean, that's embarrassing on the NFL's part. And so I don't know why they're hesitating to use week 18, but they are. And I think that that's a mistake on the NFL's part.
It is. What do you guys think, Raider Nation? Give us a call, 702-365-9200 is the number. We'll get you on the air today to talk about that. Anything you want to talk about the Raiders, we'll get into the game coming up against the Jets here pretty soon. Coming up after the break, we'll be joined by our friend Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby. We'll ask him how concerned he is about the Raiders after last week and what they need to do to go in there and make sure they take care of business. Q, this was the only game I really looked at on the schedule, even before the Jets rolled out and couldn't win a game. This is the one game I looked at and I said, okay, that's got to be a win.
Really?
I did. Yeah.
Hmm. I honestly, just because I know the nature of the NFL, I don't look at any games as like a gimme. You know what I mean? I look at them like that's a little bit easier, but I always hear that, and I hate to use that word. I always hear people say, oh, the schedule's easy, the schedule's easy. I don't believe that there's a easy game in the NFL. I believe that there's some teams that aren't as good as other teams, but I don't see any easy game in the NFL. I just don't.
No, no easy games, but you know, you look at it and you say, okay, if they can't go there and beat the Jets.
Right, then that's on them, especially after what we've seen. We've seen that the Jets stink.
Yes.
But, you know, just looking at the schedule, I say, okay, I feel like that's a win because this team, well, I don't think that they're quite there yet. I don't think, you know, I think that the Raiders could be better than them. But I just never look at it as an easy game. Now, you know, 11 weeks later and they're 0-11, you think, okay, if the Raiders can't win this game, then they got a problem. They don't deserve the playoffs anyway.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah, if they lose this game, there's nothing. And I don't care if there's 12 bad calls. It doesn't matter.
Right.
If they lose this game, they have no business even being in the conversation. Okay, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll take some of your calls at 702-365-9200. And we'll be joined by Evan Grote. We'll start getting in deep here with some Raider talk. You're with Q, you're with Scott, here on Silver and Black today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Oh, you know, I like that.
You know, and Chapman's on the board.
I like that. Yeah, yeah. Chapman's way gangster, man. No, seriously, like Chapman. I know he went away to, where'd he go, China or Japan?
Japan.
I said away, like he went to jail. He didn't go to jail. He was in Japan.
No.
He's got some gangster. He's got a little edge to him, man. I like that.
He does. He does. Although if you could see his shirt, you wouldn't think so. But anyway, we're back.
Better watch out on Fremont Street, dude. That dude, I bet you he holds Fremont Street down if he's out there.
We're back here on Silver and Black today, presented by our good friends, Sam and Ash. Visit them at samandash.com because you deserve what's right. Injury attorneys, good people both. So make sure you give them a look up if you need some help, and you do, make sure it's Sam and Ash. All right, we're back here talking Raider football. Coming up in just a few minutes, Evan Grote will be with us. But do us a favor, make sure you follow Q on Twitter, at yourboyq254. Also, if you listen to this show, most of you are aware of and know and subscribe to Q's Locked on Raiders podcast, which is every day. Make sure you subscribe to that. Also, make sure you subscribe to this show. Wherever you get your podcast, when you go subscribe to Locked on Raider podcast, just look for Silver and Black today. Subscribe there. All of the archives of these shows, within 20 minutes after the end of the show, we have it up in all channels. So whether you're on Google, Android, whether you're an iPhone user, whether you get it on Stitcher, whether you get it on Spotify, wherever you get your stuff, you'll be able to get both those podcasts. So go subscribe to those as well. You can follow me on Twitter at LVGully as well. So do that. Keep in touch with us. Just don't bring the cesspool list to us. We tend to be positive. We tend to be positive. So just do that. But make sure you take part in that. 702-365-9200 is the number. Q, you look at the injury report. I'm really concerned with some of the names on here. Isaiah Johnson, the new one today, as we mentioned. But you know, we're going to be talking to Levi Edwards later about depth and how important depth is as you make a playoff run. And that's the concerning thing for me, is because even if the Raiders right the ship, which I expect them to do in New York, then you have to be able to survive and have attrition and be able to get through that. And the Raiders, we thought they were getting much healthier, and they are getting some key guys back, but we're starting to see more and more of the season wear on some of these guys.
Yeah, you know, and that's unfortunate, you know, and that's the one, I think that's the one like silver lining when it comes to Henry Ruggs and the fact that he hasn't been used a whole lot. He hasn't hit that rookie wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because he really hasn't been used a whole lot. So I kind of look at that as like, well, you know, even though Raider Nation is itching to see what he can really do, you know, they're going to need him down the stretch, and hopefully they're going to need him into the playoffs to really be able to shine. And maybe he's able to do that because he's still somewhat fresh, you know, and you see how they've been keeping, they've been trying to keep Josh Jacobs fresh, and Devontae Booker's been doing a good job with that. So I feel like that they've learned their players a little bit better than maybe they knew even last year. And they're trying to avoid what may have happened with Jacobs and with other guys last season and trying to prevent that. So, they just got to get some guys healthy. Like I said yesterday to you and Vinny, I'm hoping that Trent Brown could come back and be there for the last four games of the season, because down the stretch, the Raiders are going to really need a guy like that.
They will, absolutely. Another guy who might impact the Raiders, who knows, Vic Beasley. Coach Gunther talked about him today. He said that, Q, he's picking up the playbook quick, and he said he's really coachable, and they hope to get him in short order. That would be nice to see maybe some Vic Beasley when they head east to New York.
It would be. You know, I don't have a lot of faith. I'm not going to lie to anyone. I'm just not. That's not how I'm cut. I don't have a lot of faith in him. You know, he had a couple seasons in Atlanta where he shined. He went to Tennessee and he was really nothing. And so we'll see. We'll see if he's able to provide something. And I feel the same way about Tack McKinley. You know, I would like to see him kind of get his career rejuvenated. And maybe once he comes off IR, probably next year, maybe he'll be able to be somebody. But it's hard for me to believe that he's all of a sudden going to turn things around from where they were when these teams released him to where they are right now. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
But if you can get something out of him, great. And I'll be happy to see that. I don't have a lot of faith in it till I see it.
No, no doubt. And that's the thing. You, at this point in the season, it's a little late. You invested in guys that didn't pan out. Right, especially Malik Collins.
Yeah.
And make no mistake, Malik Collins was shut down. I'm sorry.
And look, Scott, let me ask you this, because we talked to Vinny, and you know I respect the hell out of Vinny. I mean, I love him like my brother, man.
Yeah.
I asked him about Marcus Mariota at the end of the show yesterday, and he was like, well, it's great to have a backup quarterback. You don't want him in the game. You don't want him out there because, you know, that means that Derek Carr is still out there, which is all true. All of that's valid. But my point is, Marcus Mariota hasn't even been active one game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, he's not been active, and $7.7 million.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, he hasn't even been active. So where I understand where he was coming from, like, yeah, you want to have that. It's like having insurance. You don't want to use it, but you have to have it. But, I mean, even if Derek Carr were to go down, he's not active. So what can he do? So I kind of feel like, even though, like I said, Vinny made a lot of sense with what he was saying, I kind of feel like they missed the boat with the Kane and Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think they took a big gamble in the unlikely event, or at least maybe I thought it was unlikely, but maybe they didn't, that Derek Carr wouldn't come out of camp ready and that they wouldn't have confidence in him. I mean, can you read it any other way? Because they said, yeah, no, he's not coming in to start here. He's going to be Derek's backup. But I do think bringing him in here, and I was always in favor of bringing him in.
Me too.
To push Carr.
Exactly.
But he didn't really do that. Carr came out.
He hasn't pushed anything.
No.
He hasn't pushed anything. And to Carr's credit, he's played well without him pushing him.
That's
you
correct.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's great. But, I mean, look, Nate Peterman's been his backup all season long. I mean, again, if Mariota was active for games, and this is another thing, I thought that he could at least play a role, maybe get in there and use him some kind of interesting type offensive set or whatever, you know, just maybe have them both on the field at the same time or whatever. I mean, Gruden's creative. He can get creative. But he hasn't even been active. So I just feel like that's a lot of money that they're spending on a guy that's not even active.
Well, when we talk to Vinny later, we'll bring it up again. What the heck?
Yeah, I understand where he was coming from.
No.
We didn't really have enough time to talk about it.
Right.
So, you know.
The premise and the idea of how they were going to do it made all the sense in the world. Like I got no problem with that. But the outcome has been much different. And so you can't evaluate paying a backup quarterback $7 million based on what could have happened. We have to go look. We can now look at what did happen. Great. Derek Carr played great. That's awesome. But the guy's not been active for 1 week. So if Derek Carr were to go down, God forbid, in a game, it's Nathan Peterman.
No doubt. I mean, you saw who came in last week, right?
Right.
Nate Peterman.
Now, he might he might talk about injury and this and that, but still, for me, it's a question of what could they have done with the money that might have helped this team win more games.
Could have gone out and made a trade for Yannick Ngakoue and gave him a nice little contract, mm-hmm. and then had another guy across from Max Crosby that would take some attention on the defensive line, but that's just me.
Yes, I understand. Okay, it's that time of the week. We bring in our good friend Evan Grote. Evan hosts the Raiders podcast, the Just Pod Baby. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts as well. So you listen to our show, and you just subscribe to three podcasts. It just immediately and you're all set.
Just because.
That's right.
Yep.
All three of those, by the way, remember the ranking. I know we bragged on it last week, but we were all in the top five or top 10, top 10, and two in the top five. So it's a good deal. Evan, welcome. How is Western New York? Are you guys cooling down there yet? Or is it still nice out that you can go outside and work in the yard?
Cooling down. I was outside playing in the snow with my kids the other night. Snowball fight, man. You crazy? It's December.
Yeah, you only get like 96 inches up there a year, right? It's just a little bit of snowfall. You know what? Quick question that's not, well, it's somewhat Raider related, just because since you live near the Buffalo, New York area, the Bills, you know, the Bills have been so bad for so long after that Super Bowl run where they couldn't win one, but they got to a bunch of them. How is it, you know, Raider fans are itching to win, and they've been going through this losing spell for the greater part of 20 years. The Bills haven't, you know, just the last couple of years made the playoffs. How is the mood there, and what can Raider fans maybe learn from what the Bills have done?
You know, actually, Scott, it's been kind of difficult to really get a good feel this year because of the COVID, because they're having, you know, fans aren't allowed in the games. And, you know, in my county, Erie County, where we are, Western New York, we're back on lockdown. So, you know, people have not been getting together to watch games, and you're just not really getting a good feel for the excitement. But I know traditionally this town, when the Bills and their Sabres, when they're playing well, this team loves their sports team. So, you know, I know they're excited, and, you know, 8-3, they got a great shot right now to win the division and you know, hopefully do some damage in the playoffs if you're a Bills fan.
All right, Evan. So Raiders, last week, I know you did a podcast on this, kind of a reaction. You and Mo Moten did one on this team and the loss. But coming out of this, you know, we had our sided debate question of the week about how concerned are you after that loss? Or is it sort of the thing, well, I'm sort of concerned, but I have to see what happens on Sunday against the Jets?
Well, you know, I think last week what we saw was not a true indication of who this team is. You know, it was one of those games where things just got away from them. I don't think they were prepared properly. I don't think their focus was quite there. And things just continued to snowball throughout that game. I know this team's better. You know this team's better. I think all of Raider Nation knows that this team is better. But I think for me, the big concern, I know they're going to bounce back, but my concern is now they've put themselves in a very difficult position to make the playoffs because I think it's going to take 10 wins, and I think you guys agree with me on that. So the margin of error for them right now is razor thin. I think they got to go 4-1 down the stretch here. So, again, it's a difficult task.
Evan, who do you think is going to be, and I know it's tough in NFL and in football in general because it's an ultimate team sport, but who do you think is almost the key cog for this Raiders team going up against the Jets this week?
Well, not only against the Jets, but I think the remainder of the way, I'm going to say the offensive line. And when you and the reason why I say that is because when you look at what happened last week, I think the big problem on offense was the offensive line didn't protect Carr. All season long, they have done an excellent job without Trent Brown, without Richie Incognito. We have all given high praise to Tom Cable for the job he has done, and they've been a bright spot on this team. But last week, they didn't protect well, and you saw what happened. Carr was under a lot of pressure. Sack fumbles were an issue. Forcing the ball, where that interception, the pick six, I think that was a problem. I thought he was under pressure on that play. So I think the offensive line really has to regroup. They got to play well this week against the Jets, and they got to play well going forward the next four games after that.
That's a real great point, Evan. Yeah. Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby is our guest here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. Evan, we talk about Derek Carr. You know, there's that percentage of people out there that tends to hide in the shadows when Derek Carr is playing well. Then they pop a Cialis and they come back out and they go nuts on Derek Carr when he has a subpar performance. But I think that's huge, your point there. Now, look, some of those fumbles, that's on Derek. Derek's got to protect the ball better. He talked about it a lot this week, as did the coaching staff, and he knows that. He's now have his 11 fumbles. He's lost 8 of them. That's near a career high in both categories. But at the same time, that line, you know, Derek Carr, he's used his legs so much better this year, which is why I think he's had a better season. But he is not a mobile quarterback. So when you have what you have happen in Atlanta go down, Derek Carr is a much more limited quarterback. And so that offensive line play is going to be huge. What about the comments last week? To me, I'm a little concerned where that offensive line is because of all of the drag from this season with the injury and the not knowing knowing what position you're playing which week. It seems to me like a lot of those comments, and I'm just, this is purely my guessing, this is not based on any fact, I'm just guessing that some of that, based on what we saw on the sideline towards the end of the game, that some of this, those comments Derek Carr had about not being focused was aimed at that offensive line.
You know, that's a good question. I didn't read into that too much. Excuse me. I didn't get that same impression about, you know, those comments being geared towards the offensive line. But I definitely think there was some frustrations, certainly with him, with the offensive line. Although he was not quick to throw them under the bus in his post-game press conference. In fact, he took the blame for those sack fumbles. Mm-hmm. He said, I got to do a better job of protecting the ball. I got to do a better job of getting the ball out quicker. So, yeah, it's a good point you make, but I'm not sure, you know, I read into it the same way you did.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point right there. And, you know, continuing to look at the offense, we saw a little bit of Bryan Edwards. Again, it's been a small sample size, and it's been a small sample size with Henry Ruggs. But he looks like a guy to me, Evan, that can really be that – not who Tyrell Williams was supposed to be, but he could be that guy that can get down the field and get into the middle of a zone, similar to Hunter Renfrow, but just sit down in the zone and pick up some big-time yards and be kind of slippery at the same time. I mean, it was a small sample size, but did you like what you saw from Edwards on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, of course I like what I saw, but I still don't think we're seeing enough from either one of the rookie wide receivers, Edwards or Ruggs. I think with Edwards, this season's kind of a wash, to be honest. I think the injuries, the lost offseason really kind of, you know, stunted his development, and I think we should be kind of looking forward to next year for Bryan Edwards. I still think Henry Ruggs has a chance to contribute this year. I heard you talking about it just a moment ago, how you think he's fresh. He hasn't gone through that. He hasn't hit that rookie wall yet. So I do think he could be a big factor as well down the stretch.
Well, there you go. Evan Groh, Just Pod Baby. Evan, I know you'll have a new podcast out tonight, tomorrow morning. What do you got going tonight?
Yeah, you know, the main topic of my show tonight is I want to discuss what it's going to take to get that bad taste out of our mouth from last week, from that horrible, horrible loss from the Raiders. And my guest tonight, I'm going to be joined by Jets beat writer Brian Costello. He's a writer for the New York Post.
All right, there you go. Just Pod Baby. Check it out wherever you get your podcast. Evan Groat has been our guest. Evan, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
All right, there you go. Evan Groat. Evan,
hey, man, Evan's never invited me onto his podcast, man. What's up
with that? Oh, really? Okay, he's listening. I'm sure he'll rectify that really quickly.
I mean, I don't think I've ever invited him onto mine, but that was the only because his wife didn't let him, you know, talk after hours.
Oh, going back to the wife stuff.
Nah, Evan's my guy, man. Yeah. Evan's my guy. He's been bringing the heat, so he's my guy. I didn't give him a bad time while he was on, so I feel like I neglected him. So I had to give him a little bit of you know, the business afterwards.
That's right. And not only that, but you know, he is a guy too who's been very passionate about calling out Coach Gruden and saying you need to get Henry Ruggs more involved.
Like, yeah, he has. He's been, I think he's been the leader of the pack, really, on that. Yep. And, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with him. You know what I mean? I think that he's got a lot of valid points. Now, I know that the offense isn't just going to run around Henry Ruggs, and I know that he's not the key cog, and I know that he opens up things. Like, I get that. He opens up things. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he was also drafted number 12 overall, and you didn't just use him as a distraction. You didn't just grab him to be a distraction. And I personally think that the way that they try to stretch the field with him all the time, I don't think that that is necessarily the right way to use him. I think if you go back, and it's really simple, look at what he did at college, that's the way you use him.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, time for a break. When we come back, we'll close out our number one, visiting with Levi Edwards from Raiders.com. He's going to tell us why the Raiders' biggest opponent on Sunday might not be wearing green. You're listening to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
That's right, Raider Nation Radio. Do you live and die with the Silver and Black?
Yes.
How's this game going to go? 702-365-9200. Get online. We'll get you on the air. Do you have something good to say, or are you just sitting there doing nothing? Come on.
I'm sitting here doing nothing. I'm just sitting here doing nothing, man. I'm chilling.
Bring the heat.
All right, I got you. Let's go.
Bring in the GIMP. Sorry, okay, another movie reference. Okay, we now will go out on our newsmaker line, and every week we like to get a little inside information, if you will. Not really inside information, but just good Raiders information. That, of course, comes to us from Levi Edwards, who is a digital reporter over at Raiders.com, and Levi joins us every Thursday. Levi, how you doing, man? How was your Thanksgiving spending it here in Las Vegas?
I can't complain. Pretty good weather for Thanksgiving. Of course, you know, I'm used to it kind of being a little chillier around this time of the year, so I'm glad that I was able to kick it up in about 50-60 degree weather this time of the year in the desert.
Yeah, and then there was that smell on Sunday. You thought it was leftovers, but it wasn't. It was the game. But we're going to move past that. We're going to move past that and talk about, you wrote a piece up on Raiders.com about key matchups for Week 13 for the Raiders as they head to New York to play the Jets. And this first one, to me, and Q has talked about this several times this week as well, to me it's the biggest one, and that is the biggest opponent the Raiders are going to face on the field coming out of that Atlanta game, that disappointing outing, is themselves. Talk about what the Raiders need to do, what they need to avoid so that they can play at their best.
They just need to avoid small things, very, very small things that, of course, you, Pop Warner teaches you not to make these mistakes in terms of just making sure that you stay disciplined, making sure that you're not turning the ball over. And those are just the two things that I noticed the Raiders had the most trouble doing against the Falcons. They turned the ball over, and they committed a lot of penalties. And those are two things, especially for anyone when you're coming to this game, you realize like you're not going to win games if you do that. And, of course, in this situation, the Raiders didn't win this game because they made that mistake. So very just small key mistakes that they made throughout the game. It was not anyone's fault. You can't point a finger at anyone in terms of who lost this game because, of course, when you point a finger at someone, you have four pointing back at you. Yeah. So I feel like that should be the philosophy behind the whole team and them just needing to play better as a whole, no matter who they are. The offensive line didn't play up to par. Carr didn't play up to par. There's a lot of drop balls. The defense held up for as long as they could, but then they started, you know, making a couple mistakes because they were on the field for too long because the offense wasn't really moving the ball down the field. So it's just a lot of things that you see that just need to be better. And, of course, how I always see it, and for me personally, is my biggest competitor that I have is myself. Every day I try to battle myself and try to become a better person, you know, no matter whatever I do. And I feel like the Raiders just need to have that same mentality when they step into MetLife this Sunday. They can't – it's so much bigger than them just facing the Jets. They have to face themselves. They have to dig deep within themselves and get back to the same football that they played up to this point of the season that beat the Chiefs, that beat the Browns in 30, 40-mile-per-hour wins. They have to get back to that style of football if they want to come out with a win.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I like that. And Levi, you know, not trying to single this guy out, but he's basically still a rookie, and that's Jonathan Abram. How have you seen him develop? He got an interception off a deflection on Sunday against Atlanta. How have you seen him develop and kind of grow throughout the course of the season?
I really like his development. Of course, he is still a rookie, and there's a lot of things in terms of small things that definitely need to be cleaned up, but it's just not him. It's just everyone. And I noticed when you take him off the field, that defense is different. The tenacity that he brings, like not even just his skill set and what he does athletically, but his mentality just adds so much more to that defense that it's incredible. And, of course, he makes small mistakes at times like anyone would, especially in terms of, you know, sometimes he's a little too aggressive. Sometimes he might make a wrong angle on a tackle or do something in coverage that is not characteristic. But something that I really love that he said last week after the Chiefs loss is that you can do everything right. And then, you know, the 1 second you do something wrong or you don't make the wrong play, it can be the most crucial part of the game. And the fact that he's learned that this far in his career, this early coming out, that's crucial because it shows like you have to give 110% on everything that you do, because that one time that you don't, that's going to be the one where people are looking and people are going to see it and people are going to criticize you for the one thing that you might do wrong out of a whole game of really great plays that you've made. So I feel like he's developing and I really like what he's doing, and I know the Raiders didn't give him number 24 for no reason, so I'm really excited to see kind of how he finishes out the season. And I feel like him and Harris and Heath are really kind of helping him out a lot in that in coverage. So I really like what I'm seeing out of him so far.
Levi Edwards from Raiders.com is our guest. Levi, another one of the matchups I think key on Sunday, and you wrote about it as well, is Josh Jacobs getting that running game going. But the Jets, one of the things that has gone really well for the Jets this year in a terrible season for them has been the play of first-round pick Quinnen Williams. And really, they plan on using Williams to sort of shut down Jacobs in that running game. What are the Raiders going to have to do to make sure that doesn't happen?
The offensive line has to get back on track. I feel like last Sunday's game against the Falcons was the worst performance of the offensive line this season. And what has been such a great season for the offensive line just because of the fact that they've had so many injuries and they've had to deal with so much adversity, and they still continue to protect Carr. And up to this point, Jacobs almost has 800 yards for the season, almost 10 touchdowns for the season. So the offensive line has really been doing their job, and the one time that they don't come out and they perform to the best of their abilities, people are kind of forgetting that, oh, wait, you know, this offensive line is still elite. So, of course, you have a Jets defensive line that has been the positive light in kind of what has not been a great season for the Jets. And Quinnen Williams is a dog. I know that for fact. You see it on film. I've seen it at Alabama. I even saw it back when he was in high school playing in Birmingham. He's a dog. He's been a dog for a while, and I love watching him play. And Greg Olsen was just talking about how much of a weapon he is because he's so big and he's, like, doing things that are so quick and so fast and so agile that he's not supposed to be doing for a guy that's as big. And so, of course, when it comes down to getting back on that run game and having Josh Jacobs really be a beast and eat like he wants to, you have to have guys that are able to block. And, of course, I feel like the Raiders have the best center in the league in Rodney. You have Gabe Jackson. You have a lot of those guys. Brandon Parker's been playing up to par. Denzel Good. Guys are kind of banged up, but they have to be ready to play on Sunday because those guys, Shepard, Quinnen Williams, they're going to give them really hard time if they're not ready to block.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And what about Clee Ferrell? You know, hopefully he's able to come back. He's missed a couple games, obviously coming back from COVID-19, being on the reserve list. But if he's able to get back, they got old man Frank Gore, the most disrespected and underrated running back in the league for many, many, many moons. How big will that matchup be?
That'll be a huge matchup. It's actually it's crazy. This is kind of weird story, but I remember back when I was a young lad, and I remember my mom getting me Madden 06 on PS2. And I had a creative player, and I remember my creative player on Madden 06 got drafted by the San Francisco 49ers. And I remember even back then, Frank Gore just tearing it up on that game. I gave Frank Gore the ball so much, and he's just like, that's my childhood memories is just seeing him just like killing it with the 49ers. And now, all these years later, and, you know, you go from Madden 06, and he's killing it, and now you go on Madden 21, and he's still killing it. And that's just the level of excellence that Frank Gore's been at for so long in this league. And he's a problem, and the Jets have shown that they have trust in him, especially after moving on from Le'Veon Bell. And now you have Gore, who's the feature back, and you have another guy behind him in Kareem that is also very good, and he's developing as well. So that run attack is very capable of really destroying some defenses. So the fact that Cleland is coming back from COVID, and hopefully he has the conditioning up, and hopefully Corey as well, and he has his conditioning up after a game that he's come back through, I hope that those guys can really come together and really stop that run, because I know the past several games with Cleland out, the Chiefs, they had about 100 rushing yards against the Raiders, and then the Falcons, they had about 125 rushing yards last week. So I feel that Cleland is such a huge factor in terms of stopping the run and just doing so many things that's not statistically seen in terms of getting quarterback hits, quarterback pressures, really plugging a hole in the run defense. So getting him back will be crucial. The only issue is like when he comes back, and if he does come back, you know, will he have the conditioning? Will he have the strength? Will he be at 100%, even though he is negative and he's been testing negative? is he ready to still be that player that he was before he became positive with the virus? And I am really looking forward to seeing if that's the case in New York. And I know the Raiders are too.
Oh, absolutely. Levi Edwards, digital reporter for Raiders.com. Check out his latest story. Came out yesterday about the key matchups for the Raiders against the Jets. Levi, thanks, man, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me again.
All right, there you go. Levi Edwards.
Good stuff.
It is good stuff. And again, that theme about not beating themselves is huge. And I think this team's got to go out and they got to show that focus. If there's a lack of focus on Sunday at all, at any time, then I would be more concerned. But I don't anticipate that. I think the Raiders are going to regroup and they're going to go in there and get that win. Okay, we are at the top of the hour. 1 hour in the books. It's time to take a break, pay some bills. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential. We'll talk some more to him about the Jets and about what Adam Gase said today and get his thoughts on the game. And we'll also get your thoughts at 702-365-9200. You're with Scott and Q here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.